Welcome to episode 113 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I'm so glad you're here, you guys. We have a great show. My guest is Anna Borden. She's the first assistant director on Castle Rock, the new J.J. Abrams show, and we're going to talk to her about how she works in family time and balances being a mother while working on location on a hit TV show. All right, here we go.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, friends. I hope you're having a wonderful week and a great start to your week. It's Heather. Super excited for this guest today because this is kind of the core of what Motherhood in Hollywood is all about. My guest is Anna Borden. She is a first assistant director, first AD on Castle Rock, J.J. Abrams' new show. She's also worked on a number of other shows. Better Call Saul is one of them. She worked on while she was pregnant, and she's going to tell us what that experience was like. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this interview with Anna. She has some wonderful insights and a great perspective to share with us from behind the camera. And for me, speaking of being behind the camera, I'm actually going to go tonight to the premiere of Inhumans. Now, they're doing something different with Inhumans. It's from Marvel. It's Marvel's Inhumans. They're releasing it on IMAX, the first few episodes on IMAX. Oh, Heather, turn off your phone. All right, super profesh. Anyway, they're releasing the first few episodes on IMAX because they were shot on IMAX, and I think it's going to be really beautiful. So I'm excited to go to the red carpet premiere of that tonight, interview the cast, and then stick around and watch a couple of the first episodes of Inhumans. And, you know, I was reading about the show, and I'm so impressed with the vast amount of stories and characters and worlds that Marvel has to play with. And, you know, I'm wondering, is there ever going to be an end to their, their well of story ideas? Are we going to start seeing, like, you know, some of the deep tracks or the lesser known comic books be brought to the screen, whether it be big or small? Like, because this is a world, the Inhumans is a world that I'm not familiar with at all. It's not like, you know, some of the larger comic book worlds that we've all heard of before. Justice League, of course, Justice League is DC. I know, don't shoot me. But like Justice League is a big DC world that most people, I would say, by now have heard of, right? Don't you think? Most people know Justice League and the Avengers and, you know, that sort of thing. It would be really hard not to. Oh, and speaking of like big movies and stuff, I was reading that this last weekend was the lowest box office take in 16 years. That means basically nobody's going to the movies. And really, it kind of talked about an overall slump at the box office, which for me, I kind of have a hard time understanding because it seems like every few months, these big comic book movies come out and they break records. Like, look at Wonder Woman, $780 million. Like, it's probably up to $800 million now. And so I'm like, what are they talking about? A box office slump and like low turnout at the box office. And I was looking at the numbers, and I think the movies made, like, The Hitman's Bodyguard was number one with 10 million, but everything under it made less than 10 million. And that's like apparently really low. So it makes me wonder, are people ditching movies? Are we skipping the movies in favor of amazing television? Because can we talk about Game of Thrones finale for a second? Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was an hour and a half long feature length and feature length quality, as far as I'm concerned, television show. And the acting is amazing. The costume is incredible. The story is incredible. And I just don't want it to end. I think next year when the final season comes out, we're all going to have a massive TV hole in our hearts. But it does make me wonder, like, are people not going to the movies anymore? Is it true that, you know, there's no space for independent film? Small movies in particular, I imagine, would have a really hard time making a dent or making their money back. You know, I don't know. I'm obviously not an expert. I say that a lot on here. I'm not an expert. I'm just a fan who enjoys talking about movie and TV shows, but I thought it was interesting that we've had the lowest box office in 16 years this weekend. So, but there is a lot of good TV. All right. Speaking of TV, I'm going to wrap up my mommy monologue right now because I want to get to my guest, Anna Borden. Again, first AD on Castle Rock, J.J. Abrams' new show based on Stephen King's book, which I imagine they'll have some pretty eerie and cool kind of spooky qualities to it. But we mostly talked about how she sort of balanced being pregnant and running a very hard job of being assistant director on a very busy TV set. Assistant director work is very difficult, very challenging. You're on your feet all day. You're coordinating a lot of moving parts. And when I was 9 months pregnant, I just wanted to like sit down and get that baby out. So I'm going to let Anna tell you more about her experiences, working as a pregnant mama on major TV shows. So here's my interview with Anna Borden. I am really excited about this interview today because I have so many questions for our guest. It's Anna Borden. Hello, Anna. How are you?
Hello, I'm great. Thank you.
Are you, where are you at right now? Because you're not in LA. You're off
working. I'm in a beautiful town called Devens, Massachusetts, at some stages here.
And what are you working on? Are you allowed to say?
Yes, I'm on a show for Bad Robot that's going to be on Hulu called Castle Rock.
Oh, Castle Rock. I feel like I've heard about that.
It's a spinoff of sort of a Stephen King.
Yeah.
I've been calling it sort of almost fan fiction because it's inspired by Stephen King works.
Okay. And like who's the writer on that? Is it surely it's not. Oh, my God. I just forgot the guy on Bad Robot. Lord.
Oh, James.
Yes. Oh, that guy.
He's the producer of it.
Yeah. The one no one's ever heard of. The one I just got. Oh, yeah, my God. How embarrassing. Total mom brain fart.
It happened. Yeah, no, he is a producer on it, which is great. We have two writers who did a show called Manhattan a little while back, named Sam Shaw and I'm going to forget Dusty's last name on the spot. My mommy brain at the moment, I guess.
Thompson.
Dusty Thompson, which is, they're fantastic. They're really lovely.
Now, tell me, for everybody who may not know or may not be familiar, what does a first AD do?
So we are sort of in charge of scheduling and managing the sets. So we work closely with the director to break down the script scene by scene, figure out how we're going to shoot it, both from shot to shot and from day to day. So I break that all down and hand it off. I don't hand it off. And then I walk on to set where my second AD sort of takes over the role I had, where they're kind of organizing all the departments and I run the set, making sure that we are working efficiently and everybody has all the information they need.
So what is the difference then between what the first AD does and what an AD does? Is it basically, are they basically the same thing? Because whenever I've been on set, like I'll get introduced to the AD and he's usually the one or she's usually the one calling action.
Sure. That's me. The same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same. It's my specificity because within my department, there's a first, there's a second AD, there's a second AD. In London or in Britain, there's a third AD.
Oh, wow.
It's just a difference. It's the same thing. Same guy.
Okay. I was like, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. And that was a total slip of the tongue, by the way, to say guy, because it's not always a guy. And I want to talk about that. Like, good for you, lady, getting in there and getting some more women behind the camera. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a ride. I love the job. It's very, very fun.
Do you feel like that there is enough women doing what you're doing, or do you think we need more? Or like, why aren't we seeing more women in crew member type roles?
I have been very fortunate to come up under some amazing female first and second ADs. I've had great role models to follow all the way up. I find the first AD position is often more challenging because it sort of has had this stigma that you can't have a family and a husband and wife for and children and all that, and also be a first AD for whatever reason. It's still, and I, to this day, I still, people look at me and people I work with, it's like, it's just so amazing that you are a wife and a mother and you're doing this job, which is just so infuriating because men have been doing it for a very long time.
Right.
Fathers and husbands and first ladies. But, you know, I take it kindly and say thank you very much, because usually it's going inside with, it coincides with saying that you're good at what you do. So I take it gracefully, but it is an interesting thing.
I know. And I wonder that, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's true. Men for years in this industry have been doing every role from actor to director to producer, you know, and crew, all over the crew and everything. And nobody ever goes to them, good for you for having kids and a family and also being able to run a crew. Like, how ridiculous.
I guess maybe we should just start doing that to men all the time.
Just, yeah. Like, oh, what a great idea. I think, though, that they would be like, who does this chick think she is talking to me? You know, like, of course I do. I'm a man. Like, you know, that is amazing. Well, did you, speaking about that, did you have any reservations before you started your family about your career? Was there ever a moment where you thought, oh, wow, because of the way this industry looks at mothers and motherhood and family, did you think that it would affect your career in any way?
I think the moment happened for me when I was already pregnant. Mm-hmm. Which was not an accident. It wasn't like a shock in the head. It's not that we hadn't thought about it. I just suddenly wanted to, I'd met a lot of second ADs who, or not a lot, but I've met several second ADs who had had children and were pregnant while on set. But that's a slightly, it's a different position than first, because it's much more, while very, very hard and an awesome position, it's much more trailer based. You know, you can sit down and you can kind of take a few minutes if you need. It's kind of, it's a much more self managed, as opposed to a first AD, which you just kind of have to be on your feet and run and gun and pushing, and, you know, and having the right personality all day, every day. So so not having been pregnant before, that all sounded really intimidating. You know, for not, the pregnancy in itself is intimidating. So adding on sort of the stresses of every day, I'm sure most women in all fields go through this.
Sure.
So I really was, I tried to reach out to, I kept asking folks and looking around for female first ADs who had been, well, female first ADs with kids, who had been pregnant on set. And I actually did not find one. I found a lot of seconds, but I didn't find one. And I kind of have the mindset I've had for a while, which is, if you're afraid of something, you just dive in and work it out and go day by day and figure it out. And I was lucky enough to be walking into a atmosphere with people I've been working with for a very long time. And I remember calling, it was a new producing team. I remember calling the line producer, whose name is Robin Sweet, who's an amazing woman, and I'm working with her out here. And I said, hey, so I it's so nice to meet you, and I'm sorry to immediately add something to your plate, but I am pregnant. So I'm not trying to get out of anything. I just want you to know that, so that I'm walking in, you know, I'm pregnant. I'm not due till well after our wrap date. And she goes, okay, great. I was pregnant while working. You can do it. Great. And it was really great to hear just immediate support.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is just, she will forever be in my heart for many other reasons as well, but for that, especially me being a stranger.
I love that. See, and I think that honestly, in sort of unknown territory like that for us as women, and it just helps to know that there is another woman who has tried it, or is, who is at least willing to say, yeah, you can do this, or that's no problem. And in all aspects of this industry, because I hate the idea of any woman ever either holding back on their career because of their family, or holding back on their family because of their career.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, I did that for a very long time. I waited, my husband and I waited a really long time before we had kids, because I had this idea in my mind as an actor that I was going to wait until I got a series regular role and I could hire an on-set nanny and like just have this really cushy, like be able to bring my baby to set, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. Well, first of all, now looking back, that would be super unprofessional to do that anyway. It would be like, really, you're bringing your kid every day? It would be also be very distracting for me as an actor to do that. You know, could you imagine, like, hold on a second, my baby's throwing a fit. But also, too, it's just not realistic. Like, this town doesn't just work that way. It doesn't, things don't just fall into your lap, you know, at the right time. So I really feel like for Motherhood in Hollywood, it's sort of been my mission to tell people, do not wait for Hollywood, because Hollywood is not going to wait for you when you're when it comes to having your family. Live your life, have your babies, enjoy every second of it. And if it's meant to be, and you're this town will still be here, you know, for work. So I love that you did that. And you were like, no matter what side of the camera you're on, you're going for it.
Yeah. I love my child. So I was amazing because I had a lot of support, and it went really well, and I was very fortunate and had a very smooth pregnancy. But even, you know, by the time we wrapped, that was season two of a TV show on AMC called Better Call Saul. Mm-hmm. That whole like 9 month, 10 month lie that they tell you, when we wrapped, I was technically 9 months pregnant. I had that last 4 weeks to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And before we started the final episode, people kept, I'd be like, yeah, okay, so we're going to start prep. And everybody'd be like, you're going to do that? And I was like, yes. And I got this sort of momentary complex, or like few day complex, because everybody kept asking me that. And I finally pulled one of the producers aside and I said, is there an issue? Like, is something wrong? And she's like, no, we're just sort of shocked that you're still able to do it, that it's still... And I think that the Hollywood makes way for you if you can have a kid and stand up in a room and be a leader and do your job while still doing all those things, which we are able to do. You know, it is possible. Of course, things happen and things get tricky, but
yeah. And I think that that's something too. There is, while there was probably a lot of concern behind those questions, like, do you physically want to? Because I know for me, just walking when I was 9 months pregnant was a challenge. I was like, just let me sit down somewhere. Let me lay down. But like, I think people are more concerned too, like, are you okay physically? You know, because Lord knows they do not want you to give birth on a set or whatever. Yeah. Like, I think everybody...
Like, last month, do you really want to stand up for this
one? All the Teamsters would be like, what do we do? Somebody get a towel. I understand that. But I think it's good to prove to people and show people by example, like, listen, just because we can also have babies doesn't mean we can't then still do our job and be mentally capable in our roles. So I think that's wonderful. I'm glad you showed them.
Thanks. Me too.
I also too want to give a quick shout out to your sister-in-law, Darcy, who was, she's such a big fan and cheerleader of yours as well. She's been messaging me on Twitter. She's like, I love your podcast so much. You have got to talk to my sister-in-law, Anna. She does everything you talk about, you know, doing about being a mom in Hollywood. And so, hi, Darcy.
Hi, Darcy.
So I'm so glad she connected us, because this is a side of the story to Motherhood in Hollywood that I've been wanting to tell for a while. But like, tracking down anybody in the crew members to, and like going, hi, I know you're really busy, but can you squeeze in just a few minutes? So I'm so glad you did.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much.
And now, what kinds of, talk to me about how you balance then your schedule when you're out on the road. Do you have your family with you? Or I say on location, not on the road, because you're not like, sure, in a band.
It's a show by show thing. So I started working again about 4 months after having Lily, my daughter. She, my husband worked for the sort of a right around her. He got a few weeks off of paternity leave, and he worked, and then his job ended and we took right off, and we all went together to Georgia and did a show out there for a few months. And that was amazing and incredibly challenging because I was still breastfeeding. So wow. They ended up being in a house that was really close to the production office, which was great. So my husband got to stay home with the kid, and it was like a really meaningful time for him. And we were in the middle of nowhere, Georgia, and he just still has really fond memories because he just got to hang out, you know, with our daughter. Yeah. which is lovely.
How did you manage breastfeeding while on a set? Do they provide a pumping room for you? Do they provide that space? Or did you have to go, hey, guys, this is something I need?
They generally found I could find a trailer or something during set. While we were shooting on set, I found a trailer or a honey wagon room that I found. Sometimes I'd, you know, just tuck into a room on a set itself. Just kind of found it. I mean, since then, one of the producers I worked with, who's an amazing woman, she just had a kid and she came up with these amazing pumping things that you just stick in your bra that are just like, I'm buying those on the next kid. Like, they're fantastic. Because definitely locking yourself in a room for, you know, all of lunch, essentially. So I would have to wake, you know, 40 minutes before even usual just to sit and pump in the morning and then doing, and then losing my lunch to that. And then, of course, doing it. And by the time I got home, I was almost always in horrible pain and pumping.
Oh, sure.
Definitely was challenging. There was another AD I've met since or talked to since, who she actually had like this little like personalized, like this standing tent that she would like whip out on set. And she would just stand in the middle of set. She sent me a photo. and while still like sort of work, you know, like giving orders from this thing.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It's pretty phenomenal. I'll ask her if I can send it to you because it's an amazing thing.
This is what I love. This is so incredible. This is what I love to hear too, is that you make it work. Like, women are so ingenious in that way. They're so creative in that way that we're like, all right, I've got to be on set for X amount of hours. I know I'm going to get a break here and a break here. When can I pump? Because you figure it out. And I know not every job allows for that. I know there are some jobs that, you know, women can't. And this is not in any way to look down on those jobs or whatever. But I do love the fact in this industry that there are women who find a way to make it work, because all we see a lot of times is the finished product of these TV shows and movies that we love so much, where it looks like everything was really glamorous. There's hair and makeup done and everybody had a wonderful time. But what you don't see are the hundreds of people behind the scenes, men and women, who, you know, have family responsibilities and stuff like that as well to try to keep up with, to get your favorite TV show on the air. So I love that you guys found creative ways to make it work and pump on set. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very funny. She's above and beyond me with the actually on set still working. I just, I'm not quite so brave.
So tell me then, as far as career wise, do you also direct too, or is that something you want to do?
Yeah. So I'm actively pursuing it as best you can in this industry.
Sure.
Directing. It's sort of been kind of a newer thing for me. I was sort of just really focused on producing. And then I think just as we've evolved and seeing what producing means in this business and what directing means, and just feeling like that was a really great next step for me that I'd love to explore. So I've done I'm working on a couple of shorts and just talking to people, not being too aggressive just yet, as I'm fairly young, but my fingers crossed that I will break into that very shortly.
Do you want to do TV directing or film directing? What interests you more?
Both interest me. I think just given my path, my first ADing career has been all in television. So I think television directing is probably a more accomplishable goal at this point. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, I think most of us got into this business because we love movies, and then TV has gotten so much better. That's fun too.
TV is so great right now. Like, it's there's so many movie stars that are doing TV shows, you know, like Reese Witherspoon, and I guess Jennifer Aniston too, but she started in TV and then went to movies, but now she's back on TV again. And it's like, it's definitely a re-golden age, a part two of television. Yeah. Is there any show that you would love to work on that you see that you're like, oh, I would love to be a part of that show in some way or direct that show?
I don't know at the moment. That's an interesting question. I really relish every show that I work on when I work on it.
Sure, because it's work.
And you really get so involved in the project that I love working on everything I work on. I worked on this TV show that if it was still on, I would want to direct it, which was a TV show called Rectify. It's done now, but it was such a beautiful piece of television, just storytelling, just amazing, amazing cast and just depth and heart. And I don't know. I love that show so much, but it's done.
So there's another one. So no Game of Thrones. You're not like, oh, I want to direct Game of Thrones.
I hear that's an amazing directing experience. It is definitely, it is the closest thing in TV apparently you can come to directing a feature.
Yeah. It, I mean, every episode looks just like it's a movie, like it's a sci-fi epic movie. It's really incredible.
Yes, it is. It is an amazing feat. I mean, I think they have three directors on the ground at one time. You know, that's shooting.
I'm sure.
It's amazing.
And let me ask you then, what kind of advice, do you have any advice for new directors, new, especially young women looking to get into directing or being an AD? Where would you suggest they start or how should they get into it?
I think that I would say for ADing, the best way I think to get in is PAing. There is a DGA training program. Which is pretty hard to get into and often expedites the process through it. I came up, it takes 600 days PAing to become an AD, and that's, you know, you climb. But I learned so much and I'm so proud of all of those days and how much they made me who I am now. So I think just getting in and being a production assistant on set and just listening to everything that happens will climb. If you listen and you're present and you work hard, you will climb because it is a field that's hungry for hardworking people who love the job. Directing, I think I, in the same way every day as an AD, I've learned so much about directors. I get to work with some incredible people that every show I learn something new on how to direct and how to approach a situation and look at a story. And it's been phenomenal. I would say that the best way to direct is to direct. Just start doing it. And everybody says that and I always get angry at them because it's, you know, easier to say than do. But get your hands dirty and don't take no for an answer and tell the story that you want to tell and show it to everybody who will watch and scream from a mountaintop that you want to direct.
I think that is amazing advice. And I am so inspired by you and what you're doing behind the scenes. I'm also going to send you my headshot and resume, especially if you're directing one day. but no, sincerely, I'm so glad that Darcy introduced us. This has been truly a pleasure and a perspective that I've been wanting to share on this show for quite some time. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Heather.
All right, you guys, I'm going to put up more information about Anna up on motherhoodinhollywood.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. Remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.